Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you tonight. The music's been awesome. I've been blessed by every bit of it. I know this is just a midweek service for you guys. That could have been a gospel concert for me. I enjoyed every song tonight. I even enjoyed singing Standing on the Promises this evening. That was a great song. You all did a good job filling the auditorium up with sound. And I'm so thankful to be here this evening. And I know that God did a great miracle in your midst on Sunday night. And I'm so grateful for you all being vessels, conduits through which God can work, not only to touch this church and this community, but you are such a great blessing to all the churches in our country that look to this church for leadership and the ministry that God's allowed you to raise up together, West Coast Baptist College. I've enjoyed being here for this meeting, but I've got to be honest with you. I was really especially excited to come up and see my daughter Julie, who's going to school here, and had a good time with her this afternoon. We went to the Point at the restaurant there and had a little dad and daughter date. She did bring one friend along. We won't get into that at this time, but anyhow, we had a dad and daughter date, and that was great. And I was thinking it was good to come up and see Julie tonight, but I'm glad I didn't have to ride with her. I remember when she was young, I was coming up with a family one time for something up here, and we were in kind of stop-and-go traffic there with the 215 and the 15 come together, and there were some guys in a low car with music blaring, and their car was loud, and they were obnoxious, you know, and you could just tell they were rough guys by looking at them. I won't share all the stereotypes with you, but they fit every mold, okay? And they'd pass me on this side, and then they'd pass me on this side. Now, I'm just in the same lane, just following traffic, and you know, they're burning all this gas and tearing around and cutting us off, and still, you know, we would end up passing them. And I was talking with my wife. I said, look at those guys. They're just a couple of losers. That's what I said. How many of you have ever said anything in the privacy of your own car, but you probably wouldn't have shared it with the people actually next to you? All right, a few of you, honest ones, good. The rest of you are liars, okay? And so I said that just as we were passing them, and Julie, she sat up really high in her seat and looked out the window at these rough guys, and she went, losers, losers, you know? And I felt the need to get off at the very next exit, okay? But at any rate, I'm so glad to be here, and I was told when I got here my brother was away, and thank you guys for loving them and praying for them, and I just admire my brother in every way that you can admire a human being. I've observed his faith in Christ, his walk with God. I've had the privilege of traveling a lot of places with him, and I know he doesn't leave a room without praying and spending time in the Word, and I've admired him for that. I've learned a lot about being a husband by watching him and Terry. I've learned a lot about being a dad by watching him with his children, and then, of course, I've learned as much as I could about being a pastor by observing him. And I know one of the great encouragements in his life, apart from the Holy Spirit working within him, is your love and prayer for him. And so just as a younger brother, if you'd let me tell you tonight, thank you for loving my brother and his family. And I know they love you so much. And it's awesome to see what God's doing here. It is not normal. It's supernatural. And so I'm just so thankful to be here with you tonight. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be this evening. Romans chapter 12. I guess the theme for these services has to deal with decisions, making good decisions. And that's so important because decisions in life determine our direction. And direction ultimately will lead us to our destiny. And so we have to know how to make good decisions if we want to get to where it is we believe the Lord would have us to go. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destiny. And within the context of us seeking to fulfill God's will for our lives, there have to be these parameters, guardrails, standards, what have you, these parameters that will allow us to stay on the track and to do our very best for the Lord. My wife has made a kind of a habit for our family over the years in the fall and at Christmas time where we'll get together and she'll cover up the table and then we'll get the cookie dough out and then we'll get the little forms out, you know, and she'll roll the dough out and in the fall we're making leaves and pumpkins and then we'll decorate them, you know, and that's something we can do as a family. At Christmas time, we'll get the stars out and the trees and the snowmen and I'm sure you guys have done that or something like that. And so we get the little forms, the little cookie cutters, and we press them into the dough, and we get a product from that. And I want you to see that mental image tonight, and I want you to realize that patterns produce products. Patterns always produce products. Patterns always produce products. And all of us, in every area of our lives, have patterns that we employ that bring products to our lives. In your relationships, you have patterns through which you go. We know that in our financial lives, we have patterns. In our eating, we have patterns. Even in our sleeping, we have patterns. And patterns always produce products. The problem so often is that we use a pattern for a period of time. And when the Lord would have us to grow or to take us to another place, we can't break out of that pattern. We get stuck by now a pattern that maybe was good at one time. It's a pattern that's preventing us from moving forward. And I want you to know tonight, all of this by way of introduction, that God Almighty has put within you the capacity to live a life that pleases Him. Now, I don't know what that does for you. That does a lot for me. I'm very grateful to know that there's a God in heaven who loved me enough that He saved me of my sin. And if I ever got over that, I would never in a million years begin to fathom why is it that God would enable me to live a life that would put a smile on His face. But know tonight that God has put within you the capacity to live a life that's pleasing to Him, to leave a product in your life that's pleasing to Him. Paul was writing in Colossians, and in Colossians 1, he said this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, pleasing. This is so fundamental to Christian living that the Bible makes the point, this is something that even a child can do. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so tonight we want to talk about these patterns that will lead to products that ultimately can be pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes in life we get in a routine that serves more the purpose of a rut. Rather than propelling us forward into a life of faith, it holds us back and we get a sense of safety in knowing we're doing the same old, when maybe what needs to happen is we need to evaluate the patterns in our lives. Jesus in John 15, He shared with us that He's the true vine and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And if we hope to grow in our lives, we have to be open to this supernatural act of pruning, of purging, that God can bring our way. Did you know it would be irrational for me at the table, as we're making cookies, to take a pattern shaped like a tree and want to get a snowman? It doesn't work that way. Patterns produce products. If I don't like the product, it's a testimony to the fact that the pattern is not what it needs to be. And so often, the problem areas in our lives, the products in our lives that aren't pleasing to God and they're not profitable for us, they're testimonies to the reality that we could make some improvements on our patterns. How many of you tonight as we get started would be honest enough to say, Steve, I haven't got it all put together. I haven't got it all figured out. There are probably some areas in my life in which I have a room to grow. Are there any like that this evening? Well, good. I'm in good company. We're going to be helped, I believe, by the power of the Word of God. If you'd be so kind as to join me in standing this evening as we read from Romans chapter 12. And I'll share with you that your marriage will look no better than it does now without a better pattern. The product won't change. Your parenting will be no better unless a pattern improves. Our financial lives will look no better without a better pattern. And Paul in these verses gives so many wonderful truths, and really tonight we're going to just dial in on one sentence, just one sentence in the Word of God. And in this passage, Paul's going to reveal that patterns are pushed on all of us. All of us have those cookie cutters that are being pressed on us from a variety of places. And he tells us how to deal with this. And he lets us know that ultimately it's a decision that needs to be made. And so Romans chapter 12, we're going to look tonight at verse 2. The Bible says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If there were just one word in that verse I'd want you to draw your attention to, it's a word near the beginning. It's the word conformed. Conformed. Our Father, we are thankful tonight to be in your house. I'm grateful to be with these people. Lord, how I love this church and this church family. And God, my desire is that through the preaching and teaching of your word, that people would be helped and blessed and encouraged. God, I can't do that. I'm incapable. I'm unable. And so tonight we're all here because of faith. We have faith that you can use this occasion to accomplish your will. Jesus, I love you tonight. And I pray that everything I say and do would give evidence to that. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. You know, we're living in a world that would love nothing more than to have you conform to their pattern. Our world has their ideas, their mores, they have their sense of fashion, and they would love to have you conformed into their image. Like a cookie cutter, they would like to squish down on your life so that you would come out as a carbon copy of every other worldly minded person. That's the world in which we're living. Our world loves to tell people how to dress and how to act and what to value. They're making products after their pattern. Martin Lindstrom is a market research expert and author of a book entitled Brandwashed. And he writes in this book, he said, research suggests that humans flock like sheep and birds. Now I'm going to read on, but he said, humans, that's us. He said that humans, they flock like sheep and birds, subconsciously following the minority of individuals. And he goes on to share that it takes a mere 5% of informed individuals to influence the direction of a crowd of up to 200 people. The other 95% trail along without even being aware of it. That's an amazing thing to consider, that maybe 5% of humanity can sway the opinions, the views of so many others. And we may not like the mental picture of someone calling us sheep. But did you know that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says indeed that's who we are? We're sheep. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100 and verse 3, the Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, we are sheep tonight, but we're not to be sheep that follow our culture. We're to be sheep that follow our Creator. We're to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, doing those things that are pleasing to Him. We're to take our cues from Him and to live a life that would please Him. And we're to impact our culture when all too often it's people of faith who are being impacted by culture, instead of the other way around. I want you to think of that. And it's to this end that the Apostle Paul writes these powerful words. He says to the audience, he says, and be not conformed to this world. He's saying, listen, don't let this world shape you. Don't let this world conform you to their image. Don't allow the world to make you look like them. And the idea is that our world is ever working to shape us and mold us after their image, when the calling in the life of a believer is to become more and more like Jesus Christ in the course of our Christian life. We think of the words of Romans 8:29, where the Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, our longing in life as people of faith should be that we would look a little more like Jesus tomorrow than today, and more today than we did even yesterday. It's this matter of growing more and more in resembling our Lord and our Savior. What happens so often, though, is we become susceptible to being people pleasers. We kind of see what's happening around us, taking our cues from at least what we perceive to be the opinions of others of us, and we start making decisions based on that. I was reading a magazine the other day, and it was an article on health and fitness, and I thought there may be something good for me to learn in there. I didn't know that I'd come across something that would impact my mind. I was thinking about this message, this passage of Scripture, and I was reading this article, and in this article in a health magazine, it said that 50% of teen girls seek to control their weight by skipping meals or vomiting. 50%. Both unhealthy things. What would ever make a young person make such a foolish decision? The opinions of others, their perception of them. 20 million women, it said, have eating disorders. And when they dug deeper, they discovered the problem here was the fact that the typical lady, they said, according to their research, views 3,000 advertisements a day. And in these advertisements are models portraying the various products. And the only problem is, although the typical lady would view 3,000 commercials or ads a day, the typical model is about 4 inches taller than the typical lady. And the typical model is about 40 pounds lighter than the typical lady. And so we see that image, and when it doesn't match up, we have problems.
Now, I'm not picking on the ladies. They just happen to mention these statistics. 70% of 18 to 30-year-olds said they have a negative image of themselves. 60% of adult women say they have that dissatisfaction. Now, the ramifications of letting the opinions of others or our perception of their opinions shape us, it can devastate us in so many ways. But when we extrapolate that into the relationships we have in life, and when we bring that into the arena of our relationship with God, it can be totally debilitating. And so I'm saying tonight that if we hope to have a product in our lives that is pleasing to God, we have to go to Him for the pattern. We can't go to our world. We can't let the opinions of others shape us. We have to go to God and say, God, I want a product that's pleasing to You. Would You help me to make decisions that would lead to patterns that would be profitable in my life? And so as we look to this passage of Scripture tonight, there's some truths that just come to the surface. The first element I see in this passage is this: we have to take responsibility for our patterns. We have to take responsibility for our patterns. So Paul writes here, and be not conformed to this world. I just love the way he writes that. He didn't say if you have time or try not to be. I mean, he just flat out says it. Don't be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. He would not have written that if we were left to be victims in an environment that's beyond our control. The thought is this: we have a decision to make in this. And I want you to know tonight that victory can never come in areas in our lives in which we have a need if we don't recognize the role that our patterns have played. Dissatisfaction with our marriage, dissatisfaction with our education, dissatisfaction with employment and other relationships. I want you to know tonight that it's patterns that produce products, and we've got to go back and ask ourselves, Lord, what's the pattern of my life? Let me allow King David of the Old Testament to serve as an example. He's remembered for so many good things. We would say David and Goliath, that would be a big one. We know David and the amazing work he did preparing for the building of the temple. His son Solomon seeing that project to completion. He did so much. But when we look at the life of David, we have to recollect that there was a time that served as a lowlight for him. There was a time in the life of David where he made some terrible decisions, and the Bible paints a vivid picture. It doesn't hide any of the details. We know that he violated his marriage vows, he cheated on his wife, and the reality is there were a lot of reasons for what he did, but none of them were good reasons. And so here he is in this low time in life, and it would have been easy to try to paint the portrait of himself that maybe would have shaded the reality. He could have given reasons and facts, but none of those reasons were good. Simply put, he had established a bad pattern. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there, with those with whom he was supposed to be. There was a pattern that had shifted in his life, and the pattern brought a product that was bitter. And it wasn't until David was to the point in his life where he was going to take responsibility that he could then gain the victory. In Psalm 51, David writes in verse 4, he said, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." What happens here, he acknowledges what he did. It hurt so many people, primarily a sin against God. And David comes to God and he says, "God, I did this, and this was wrong. There's nobody to blame for what happened here. I'm taking responsibility." And until we're to the point where we're willing to take responsibility for whatever it is in your life that caused you to lift a hand as we got started, until we're willing to look in the mirror and say, listen, if I'm dissatisfied with the product in this area of my life, I've at least got to be willing to check the pattern out in my own heart. You see, that's where David was. He was taking responsibility. He didn't play the blame game. He owned it. I was raised mostly in an inner city setting in Long Beach and have so many great memories from all of that. I enjoyed it very much, but I remember there was a time in our region's history where we had some incredible civil unrest. Most of you will know what I'm talking about. And right downtown Long Beach, there was a lot of rioting and looting, and buildings were burnt. And it was surreal to see an otherwise normal neighborhood in just a matter of hours turn into an absolute war zone. I mean, you heard guns going off everywhere. It was sad to see all the buildings burn. It was less sad to see the DMV going up in flames, but for the most part, it was very sad to see the devastation. I remember standing in the parking lot of our church looking across the street. It was a Vons across the street at the time, and people running in and stealing stuff and running out. And I remember seeing a guy get shot in that parking lot. It was just chaos, like nothing I'd ever seen in my life. It was terrifying, really. And of course, as order was restored, you know, everyone begins to share their stories. And I remember talking with some friends, people that I knew and enjoyed a relationship with. They began to laugh and tell their stories, and their stories included getting a TV here or a radio there or going into this place or getting in a fight over there. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, these are people that otherwise were sensible people. I mean, these are people that you would never think they would do something like that. But here they were in a setting, and it was happening around them. And so all of a sudden, that these inhibitions are gone. And listen, here was the thought process. Well, everybody's doing it. That's the norm. That's the pattern. The rules have been changed. And so they began to do things that ordinarily would be considered abhorrent behavior. It had just become the societal norm in that moment. But I want you to know that a lack of personal integrity and responsibility will lead you to live life as a victim. Listen, they didn't just think that it was okay to do what they did during that time. They felt justified. Everybody's doing it. I would be left out if I weren't involved, and if we're not careful, the world will so twist the truth of God's word that we'll not only do what's wrong, we'll justify our actions. And it'll lead to a product that's not pleasing to God or profitable for us. You live as a victim. It's okay for me to do this horrible thing because of my circumstances, my situation. Nobody knows how I feel. Nobody knows what I've been through. And I want you to know tonight, if you choose to live life as a victim, and if you want to justify every bad product that comes from a bad pattern, you can do that. Or you can start the road to victory by taking responsibility, change the pattern, and find a blessed product. Now, I'm going to get really close from preaching to meddling here, okay? And I just want to give a few thoughts that might help us to get on the same page. Because I think all of us kind of excuse things because, well, that's just how I am. I'm just a hectic person. I'm just always running late. Is it possible that you're a poor planner of time and that you don't care enough for the time of other people that it doesn't bother you at all to keep them waiting? Well, I'm just not a morning person. Could it be you stayed up too late watching TV and eating junk food and so you didn't get a good sleep? Well, you know, I just don't earn enough to tithe. Could it be it's just a matter of trust in God? You know, Pastor, I come from a long line of addictive people. I mean, I can go back as far as I can think, and alcoholism, drug addiction, all these things have been in my family line, and that leads to justifying less than God's best. And so we can choose to live as a victim, justifying our behavior. Well, that's just how I am. Or we can come to the point where we'll be willing to take responsibility and say, God, this product, however I want to portray it, this product is wrong. And products only come from patterns. And so God, help me to be honest and deal with the patterns in my life that are leading to these products. Think of that. I'm telling you tonight, if you change the pattern, you'll change the product. Here's the one statement. If this is the only statement you get tonight, here it is. The enemy would love to get you to think that a changeable pattern is a permanent problem. And so many times in life, we live subpar in one area or another. And the enemy would love to get us to think it's never going to get any better there. You're never going to know victory there. It's never going to change. It's always going to be how it is now. And we think that this pattern that is changeable has led us to the point where we'll never grow beyond it. The enemy would love to get you to think that a changeable pattern is a permanent problem. But I'm saying tonight, if you're a person of faith, God the Spirit dwells within you. And He loves you enough to convict of sin. And there's going to be a little sense of holy agitation on the inside when the product's not right. You're going to have to sense the Spirit's working here. And He not only convicts us, He can change us, and He can lead us to grow, and we can get to a place by His direction we never would have gotten on our own. But we have to take responsibility for our patterns and say, Lord, what are the areas in my life that have been conformed to anything other than You? God, what have I picked up in the course of this life from this world that's not honoring to You? We have to take responsibility for our patterns. Here's a second thought. We have to trust God's pattern and receive His product. We have to trust God's pattern and receive His product. Paul went on in this verse to say this, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. Transformed. Well, he just said a minute ago, conformed. Don't be conformed. Be transformed. Well, if what I read in my Bible dictionary is correct, the idea in being conformed is to have something shaped. And so in this case, it would be living a life that is shaped. And so Paul would say, don't let this world shape you. But rather, he talks about a transformation that happens in our minds. The idea in something that is transformed is different than conformed. Conform is an outside-in thing. Transform is literally the changing from the inside out. It's a nature being shaped. And God is saying that when we have our minds renewed, that in return, He'll change us. But it's not conforming us from the outside in as the world would like to work, or as religion, conventional religion would like to work. God says, I tell you what, I'll do it better for you. I'll change you from the inside out. Oh, it's going to look different on the outside, but I'm going to do a work. I'm going to transform you this way. I love that. He'll shape us. He'll shape our life, but it's an inside job. I think of the way Paul wrote it to Philippians. He said this in Philippians 2. He said, for it's God which worketh in you. He's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He does work on us, yes, but God does His work in us, and it leads to a change. And this entire truth is connected to really a Bible way of thinking. The pattern is a renewed mind, and the product is a transformed life. And so we need a mind that has been made new. And so we could wonder, what does a new mind look like? A mind that has been renewed, what would that look like? And friends, I've got to tell you, I can give you a name for what it looks like. Jesus. It looks like Jesus. You see, that's why Paul could go on to write in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we understand that patterns produce products, we've got to know there's no pattern like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the model to whom we can emulate. He's the one from which we can learn. And not only that, He's the source of the power we need to do that which is right. So sometimes we look at our marriage and our families and our career and so on, and we would do well to ask, Lord, how would You have me to think about this? And based on what You show me, what then would You have me to do? If we accept, friends, the world's pattern, we have no choice. The best we'll get is what the world can offer. And that's a sorry second place to the goodness of God. I'm saying if we accept the Lord's pattern, however, we get the Lord's product. I won't take time to read the whole passage tonight, but if I did, we could go to Luke chapter 4 and we'd read an incredible accounting of Jesus as He's enduring the time we just call the time of temptation. And you know the span of 40 days has come and gone, and Jesus is in a weakened condition, physically speaking, and Satan comes to Him. And again, I won't read the chapter, but if I did, we would read as Satan comes to Jesus, and he tells Jesus, hey, I know you're hungry in essence, and he tells him to turn stones into bread. And in that moment, there's a pressure. And Jesus responds this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then Satan, he tells Jesus to worship Him, and he'll give Him the kingdoms of the world. And in a moment, he enables Jesus to see all the kingdoms. And Jesus responds this way, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Finally, Satan tells Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, and the angels will bear him up, and everyone will see. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, we break these temptations into categories. Many of you have heard this. We think of the lust of the flesh. Turn the stones into bread. That was dealing with flesh. We think of the lust of the eyes, seeing the kingdoms of the world and so forth. And we think of the pride of life, the angels lifting for others to see. That's the world's pattern. John in 1 John 2 tells us this. He says, for all that is in the world, listen to this. He said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so the world's going to be coming, and they're going to be coming with pleasure and with possessions and with position. They're going to try to conform you. And when we think like Jesus and respond to the pressures of life with the power of the Word of God, we'll know then what it is to be transformed from the inside out in such a way that we will begin to resemble the pattern we find in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to the final thought. The final thought is this: His pattern has been proven. Aren't you thankful for Jesus?
Amen.
Just thankful for Jesus. That song, that trio that sang a moment ago, to hear them talk about Jesus being there in the storm, how grateful I am for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Paul concludes this verse, he says this, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I'm not an expert on these things mechanically. I'm not sure how it all happens, but I've come to understand your mind controls your body. Your will controls your mind. And one trap we oftentimes fall into is we think, you know, if I just had better willpower, I'd do better in spiritual things. As though willpower is the answer to living a life that will produce a product that's pleasing to God. In other words, if my flesh were really awesome, God would really be happy with me. And we're missing something there. It's only when we yield to God and allow God the Spirit to work through us, where He can take over and He gives us the willpower. He gives us, and oftentimes the won't power. And He works in our lives to give us what it is we need. He guides us. He directs us. He enables us to live a life that would enable us by His grace to be a victorious Christian. The product of following Jesus as our pattern will bring a product that is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. If you're still with me tonight, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to just imagine with me. Imagine with me, please. Imagine with me. What would your families look like in a few weeks' time if just you honestly said, God, would you help me to evaluate the product I'm seeing in every area, every facet of my family? And would you lead me back, Lord, to the pattern and show me where it doesn't look like you? Imagine with me what would happen in our financial lives if we evaluated the product and went back to take a look at the pattern. I want you really to imagine, as amazing as the impact is that this church has had on this valley, I want you to imagine with me if thousands of you said, Lord, I want you to help me see the product for what it is and help me to see those areas in the pattern that led to the product that don't look just like you. I believe if we had that heart, that God is so loving, He is so good and kind and gracious, that God the Spirit would have put His finger on that area every time, every time. It's always interesting to me. Most people think the era in which they grew up is the greatest era in the history of the world. You've got the Leave It to Beaver people, and that was the greatest time ever, you know. And you got the Brady Bunch people. Any Brady Bunch people tonight? Yeah, a lot of them think that was a groovy time, right? And I think I grew up in the greatest era of them all. I had chips. And I don't mean potato chips. I mean, you guys don't know what chips is, do you? I'm getting old, I guess. I grew up in the 80s for the most part, and there was a lot to like about the 80s. The Lakers used to be good in the 80s. That was good. There were a lot of things I liked about the 80s. I would share many of those with you, but you may not find them as interesting as I do. There were a lot of good things about the 80s. There's one thing that was especially good. Just two words. But to me, it was a big, big deal. Pac-Man. Now, for those of you under 40, that was a video game. And back then, you didn't play video games at home on your parents' sofa, okay? You went to arcades. And arcades were in a variety of places. For me, I had to go to the bowling alley in our town. And I'd go in there, and they had a Pac-Man and a Miss Pac-Man machine. And I'd scrounge around, and I'd get all my change together, and I'd go down to play Pac-Man. And I don't know how many quarters I wasted on Pac-Man. Are there any Pac-Man people with me here tonight? A
few of you. Yeah, some of you are like, Pac-Man, what is that? Okay, I'm sorry. You have to read Wikipedia. I don't know, figure it out. But Pac-Man was just a great game. You didn't have to shoot anything. You just kind of ran around, and I have no idea what Pac-Man was. He was just like this yellow guy who was only a mouth. And he'd run around and eat dots, and there were these, like, ghosts that would chase him. And there were power pellets he could eat that would make it so he could eat the ghosts, but they'd only last for a minute. And I would play Pac-Man for hours on end. Pac-Man, Pac-Man, played over and over. And I'd always want to eat those power pellets, but you see, there was only four of those. And if you eat a power pellet, it only lasts for a minute, and then those ghosts could get you. And I'd eat a power pellet, and I'd follow those ghosts around, and after a while, they'd change. And this illustration's bombing. None of you know what Pac-Man is. I can't believe this, all right? But just trust me, okay? The ghosts would end up eating me, and it never worked out well. And after more quarters than I could ever count, somebody shared with me that there's a better way to play that game. There's a pattern. See, what you want to do is get the easy points and go eat the power pellets, but once they're gone, you're kind of dead meat because there's too many of them. You couldn't possibly clear the screen. If you just did naturally what you wanted to do, you'd be in trouble every time. But there's a pattern, and if you follow the pattern, you can make your way around the screen, clear more screens, and you can get a lot of points, and you can beat the game. There's a pattern that leads to a product that was very pleasing to me, inordinately so. I enjoyed very much the playing of Pac-Man. There's a pattern. There's a pattern. There's a pattern. When it comes to life, tonight I'm saying, there's a pattern that will lead you to victory. I am not the pattern. There is a pattern, however. Peter told us about him in 1 Peter 2 and 21. He said this, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Let me tell you, and I mean no disrespect to the words of Christ, but to apply it by way of this illustration, Jesus is saying, I've already been there, and I've already done that, and I know the game looks like it's unbeatable, but there's a pattern. I've left the pattern. Follow the pattern. You'll find a product that is pleasing to me and profitable to you. But Jesus says, I'm the way. Follow me. Don't let the world tell you how it is that life is to be lived. Be humble enough and honest enough to see the products in our life and say, God, would you help me to take responsibility for what's happening here? And God, help me to understand, I'm not a victim. My hardships aren't the result of the man or that mean person. I'm not a victim, God. I'm going to take responsibility for this product. God, lead me by your grace to the pattern that produced the product. God, help me see every area on this form that doesn't look just like you. And God, help me to change this so that rather than being conformed to this world, I'll be conformed to you. That's the heart we need. Oh, listen, for so many of us, the endless struggles that we face testify to the reality that there's a pattern problem. There's a pattern problem. We bought a bill of goods from our world, and there's no victory to be found there. And I want you to know, understanding what I've said tonight, it's not going to bring an ending to the war. No, that's not how it works. The battles will still come. But come what may in our lives, we can know that we have a pattern in Jesus. It's not about our strength. It's not about our power. It's not about our experience. It's not about our intellect or lack of it. It's about following Jesus each step of the way. It's about seeing him as the pattern that we need and enjoying the product that comes to our lives and pleasing God in the process.